right, if you'd like to turn with me this evening to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, we'll continue on our midweek study of the fruit of the Spirit, the book of Galatians and chapter 5. We are nearing the end of this study on the fruit of the Spirit. We are, if my math is right, this faith or faithfulness is the seventh of the nine fruit that are listed here. Galatians 5, verse 22, God's Word reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Tonight, the fruit of the Spirit, faith, as it is given to us at the close of verse 22, or really in its broader sense, faithfulness. Faith or faithfulness. If you were to open your Baptist hymnal, in the back of it, there's a list of songs by the songwriters. Many of you would be familiar with the songwriter Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind. Someone asked her one time, they asked, if you could ask one thing of God, what would you ask of God? Probably most of us would say that I could see, right? That I would have my sight. Fanny Crosby stated, if I could ask anything of God, it would be that I would be born blind. Well, she was blind. And the person had asked, well, why do you say that? And her response was, because the first face I'll ever see will be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? If you look in your Baptist hymnal, you'll find that over 20 of the songs in just this one hymnal, the Baptist hymnal, were written by Fanny Crosby. Engraved on her tombstone are these words: "She hath done what she could."
Amen, brother.
This is a direct quotation from Mark 14, where that woman comes in shortly before, just days really before Christ is crucified, and she breaks that alabaster box of ointment and pours it on the head of Jesus. And you remember some of the folks got all in a stir about that and thought that was a waste of money. They could have sold that and given it to the poor. And Jesus said, "You've always got the poor with you."
Amen.
And that's the truth. He said, "But you don't have me always." And then Christ said, what she's done is a good thing. In fact, Christ's words were, "She hath done what she could."
Amen, brother.
If you were to try to think of a good summation of faithfulness, I think that would be a good summation of it. Doing what you can.
Amen, brother.
Being faithful to do what you can. That, friends, engraved on the tombstone of Fanny Crosby, the blind songwriter, is a simple definition for us of faithfulness. Tonight, as we think about this fruit, I would like to look at it in three separate ways. I want to look at it as is defined by Scripture, and then demonstrated by God, and then thirdly, displayed by the Spirit in the lives of the believer. First of all, the word faith or faithfulness as it is defined in Scripture. The word is the Greek word pistis or pistos. And again, I'm not a Greek anything. I'm trying to learn a little bit. But the very basic biblical definition of faithfulness is this: just being trustworthy. Being trustworthy. Reliable. Constant. Steadfast. This is the biblical definition of faith or faithfulness. that you are trustworthy, that God is trustworthy. The idea is that you have or you show true and constant support. Here's an old word. You ready for it? Loyalty.
Amen.
There's an old word, loyalty. We have been praying about and thinking about buying a house or building a house. We were talking to a realtor not long ago, and this realtor said to us, there was a time in my business when I could take a man at his word. We could shake on a deal, and I could count on the fact that it would be done. The old adage is, a man is as good as his word. But this realtor said to us, but those days are long gone.
That's right, brother.
Unfortunately, the idea of humanity and even the moral nature of man being faithful, loyal, trustworthy, dependable, reliable, it is as gone and is just a part of history now. I don't know how many times someone has said to me, and I just use myself as an illustration, I'm sure you could fill in the blank, all of you. I don't know how many times people have said to me, preacher, I'll be there Sunday.
Amen.
I could build a house for all the times I've been. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll be there Sunday. Well, I'll be honest with you. Your preacher's such a, I don't know what word, I don't want to say pessimist, realist, cynical, but I believe it when it happens. Usually not until and unless. People say, I'm going to get back in church and I'm going to start doing right. But this is words. Whatever happened to being
faithful,
dependable, reliable, trustworthy? But this is how the Bible defines faithfulness. This is what it means, that we are people of our word, that we are reliable. God highly values faithfulness. We studied this in 1 Corinthians. There the text tells us that what God requires first in a steward is faithfulness. We're all stewards. God's first requirement of us is faithfulness. I sometimes get frustrated and discouraged when I don't see numbers growing or church, you know, people busting out the walls. You know, I sometimes get frustrated about that. And I'm reminded, one of my favorite preachers says, when you stand before the judgment seat, Jesus is not going to ask you the size of anything.
Amen.
He said, the only thing that matters is, were you faithful?
Amen.
Were you faithful? God measures success. In fact, God's only standard of success is faithfulness.
Amen.
You want to know how the Bible defines faithfulness? It is being true. And God highly values this. Why? Because God is a faithful God.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Can you depend on God?
Amen.
Is His word reliable?
Amen.
Does God keep His promises?
Yes.
And then I will say to you that we can see faithfulness demonstrated by God. It is defined in Scripture, but I think we can see faithfulness demonstrated by God. 1 Corinthians 1, I'm going to throw some scriptures at you very quickly. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, listen, the faithful God,
Amen.
Which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1 Peter 4:19. Peter calls him a faithful creator.
Amen.
The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2:17 that Jesus Christ is a merciful and faithful high priest.
Amen.
Open in the book of Revelation. The words of our Christ bearing witness to who he is. He is the faithful and true witness. And old John looked up on the back of a white horse in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. And on the back of that white horse, he saw one sitting there, listen, who is called faithful and true.
Amen.
And this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5. 20, verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you. Hey, listen, it's great. It's wonderful to have a God who is a constant.
Amen.
A God who is dependable. A God that is reliable. God doesn't try to be faithful. God doesn't try to keep his word. Every parent here has told your children, at some point, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. But it's possible something unforeseen happens and it doesn't get done. I'd say probably every parent has had that situation where you made a commitment to your child something. Well, that's never happened to God. God doesn't have to try to keep his word. God is faithful.
Amen.
I'm still waiting on my dad to build that treehouse he promised us 35 years ago. He ain't built it yet. But my Heavenly Father never has said something that he didn't follow through on.
That's right,
he always keeps his word. God is perfectly, eternally, and immutably trustworthy.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
We as a people, we're not always faithful, even though we set out to be, but God is faithful all the time in everything. And God is faithful to everyone.
Amen.
He's faithful to do what he said he was going to do to the believers, and he'll be faithful to do what he says he's going to do to all unbelievers.
Amen.
God is faithful. God is a covenant-keeping God, a promise-keeping God. He is completely reliable, totally dependable. Listen, this is deep stuff. You ready? You can put your faith in God.
Amen.
You can put your faith in God. Now, I don't care who it is, people will let you down, even with the best of intentions. Your parents will disappoint you. This preacher will disappoint you. It's just going to happen. People will disappoint you, no matter how hard they try to keep their word. People will break promises. They will fail to meet commitments. Things will come up that are out of our control. That's not true with God. God is always faithful. You can depend on him. He's fully faithful. Our failures don't make God unfaithful. God is faithful even when we're not or if we're not. 2 Timothy 2:13, the Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
This verse affirms for us who God is. He is a faithful God.
Amen.
Fully reliable. God, now listen to this, God would cease to be God if he were unfaithful.
Amen.
He can't deny it. That's who God is. He's just a faithful God. I can't say it. One scholar said it like this. He said that God would have to be un-God. He would have to un-God himself in order to be anything other than faithful. Because that's who he is. He's not arbitrarily angry. God is not up and down, flippant, left and right. He's faithful. Here it is again, real deep theology. You can depend on God to be God. And that's worth something in and of itself. You can depend on God to be God. No wonder then, right? No wonder then that one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. It only makes sense. God the Father is faithful. God the Son is faithful. God the Holy Spirit is faithful. And when we become believers, that Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, takes it up his abode within us, lives within us. It only makes sense then that that Spirit works through us would produce the fruit of faithfulness.
Amen.
It's just who God is. It's just the natural outflow of that Holy Spirit, the faithful Holy Spirit within us. So then third, notice with me, faithfulness displayed by the Spirit in the life of the believer. The kind of faith that we're talking about is not merely some act of the flesh. Now all men, and listen to me what I'm about to say, all men, all people have faith. They just don't all have saving faith. But all people have faith of some kind. They have faith that if they go home and they open up a bottle of water, it'll be water in that bottle and not poison in it. They have faith that if they drive down the road, some measure of faith that people are going to stay on the right side of the road and not hit them head on. All people have some measure of faith, but not all people share saving faith.
Right.
Okay? And so the kind of faith that we're talking about, that which is godlike, is not produced by the flesh, but is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a supernatural work of God in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible says that without faith, and that is without saving faith, it is impossible to please Him, impossible to please God. So how then is this fruit of faithfulness displayed by the Spirit in our lives? And first of all, this fruit of faithfulness is seen at the new birth. At the new birth. If you've been sitting in a Baptist church or probably any Bible preaching church for any measure of time, you will have heard these verses, and sometimes we get so familiar with them, they don't have the oomph or impact that they should have in our lives. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." What is it? It's the gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Right? There we're so familiar with this. Many of you are mouthing this back to me, right? "For by grace are ye saved through faith."
Amen.
So that fruit of faithfulness that the Spirit produces in us begins at the new birth. I'm not talking about some faith that I sit down in this pew is going to hold me. I'm talking about saving faith, true faith. Life-transforming faith is a gift of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not of the flesh, but it is the gift of God.
Amen.
It's not of works. If this faith was earned by works, it wouldn't be a gift. But it is the gift of God given to us who don't deserve it. So this glorious fruit of faith begins to be produced in us when God the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, shows us that we are lawbreakers and trespassers. When He shows to us the glory of the crucified Christ and how He died for our sins and that He was buried and rose again, when God the Holy Spirit takes that message and makes it real to us, He produces in us repentance and faith. Those glorious, simultaneous gifts, instantaneous and inseparable. That's how my daddy taught me to say repentance and faith. Instantaneous and inseparable. You don't get one without the other. God, the Holy Spirit, takes that gospel message and He makes it real. And then He gives to us faith in that gospel message that Christ did what He did. You ready? For me. For me. Now, He may have saved a whole other world of sinners, but when that message gets a hold of you, it becomes very personal.
Amen.
He did that for me. That is the very beginning of this fruit of faith being produced in the heart and in the life of a believer. It begins at the moment of new birth, at the new birth. But then also, God produces this Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces this fruit of faith within us. It begins at the new birth, but God also gives us an inner trusting faith, an inner, inside of us, an inner trusting faith. I define this as the believer trusting God in spite of situation and circumstance. Now that's a supernatural faith. That is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. When we as believers, we have been given faith, that gift of faith, and now that Spirit continues to produce this fruit of faith, and that fruit of faith gives us an assurance, a peace, a calm in the storm, that regardless of circumstance and situation, I can trust God.
Amen, brother.
I can trust God. This is a supernatural, God-given faith that looks beyond what the natural eye sees, what the natural mind thinks, and just simply believes God. You say, preacher, are you saying that there are some people who can look past a cancer diagnosis and trust God? Yes, there sure are. Are you saying there's some people who can look past a terminal disease and still trust God? Oh, yes, there are. And that's not natural, though. That's supernatural. That's the gift of the Spirit of God producing faith in you that looks beyond that. Hey, listen, I've been in this thing long enough. I've shared some of this. I've been in this thing long enough to see some inexplicable things.
Amen, brother.
To see people who... You know, I say it like this. If it was me, I'd be laying down in the floor wallowing like a little baby crying. But I see them, they singing for joy.
Amen.
How do they do it? It's the fruit of faith produced by the Spirit in their heart and their life that they look beyond situation and circumstance. If God give me the grace, I could do that too. But I don't believe you God will give you that grace unless you need that grace. But there are some people who have the faith to look beyond what makes sense and just believe God. Now, is there some biblical evidence of that? Is there some biblical evidence that people that just said, I'm going to trust God regardless of situation and circumstance, and just take God at His word? Why, yes, there is. I would invite you to look at Romans with me in chapter number 4. There are numerous examples. I will give to you a couple of them. The book of Romans in chapter number 4. This tells us a story of a man and wife named Abraham and Sarah. Now, what had God said to Abraham and Sarah? They were going to have a child. If memory serves, and I could be proven wrong here, but if memory serves, when God first made this promise, Abraham was about 75 years old. Sarah was about 10 years younger than him. So when God first made this promise, Abraham was 75, his wife was 65, and that's pretty old to start having kids. And here's the thing about it, though. That promise did not unfold for another 25 years. God would appear to Abraham and to Sarah 24 years later and reaffirm His covenant with them when Abraham's 99 and Sarah's 89 and says, I hadn't forgot my promise. I made a promise. I'm going to keep my word. What did Abraham, the father of faith, do? Look at Romans 4 and verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18. You go back to Genesis and read about this. Romans 4 is just giving a summary of it. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice these words. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, you don't have to be that old to figure out what he's saying. Abraham's 99 years old. He's an old man. Body just doesn't function like it used to. Sarah's 89 years old. It's past time for her. We understand that, right? We got it? But the text here says Abraham didn't even think about that. In fact, it says in verse 19 that he didn't even consider that. That didn't even come into his mind. That didn't even play a part in whether or not he was going to believe God. He didn't look at circumstance and situation. Notice with me at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, folks, that is supernatural faith.
Amen.
For an old man to look at his body and look at his wife's body and say, yeah, they old, but I'm going to go on and believe God anyway. He said he's going to give me a son. I believe he's going to give me a son. And not stumble over that, but just believe that. Ain't no wonder. Ain't no wonder the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith.
Amen.
Right? He just didn't take that into account. But what about Sarah? Turn over to Hebrews. Because, you know, when you're 89 years old and you ain't had a child and your body has changed, I'll just use that terminology, you're going to have to make up your mind whether or not you're going to believe God or whether you're just going to look at situation and circumstance. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know, if you're going to talk about faith, you're going to find your way to Hebrews 11. That's just all there is to it. If you're going to talk about faith, you're going to get there. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Listen to these words. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. I underlined these words. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew who her God was. She could depend on God to be God. She judged. God's reliable. God is dependable.
Amen.
God has made a promise. I can just believe Him. Does that mean it's always easy? No. No. They waited 25 years for God to fulfill His covenant with them. And they made some mistakes along the way, didn't they? Abraham, Hagar, Sarah. Yes, they did. But faith, this God-produced fruit of faith, looks beyond the natural, the circumstance, what my mind can understand, what I can dream up. And it just believes God. That's what faith just believes God. Later on, you know, they finally do have that son. And God says to Abraham, take him up on the mountain and put him out on the altar and give your son as a sacrifice.
Amen.
Well, what would this man of God do? What would this man of faith do? He got his son up the mountain, built an altar there, and laid his son down on top of that altar, raised his hand to plunge a knife into the bosom of his son, and God stayed his hand. Why did he do that? And I'll just give you this. You look at Hebrews 11 again. Why was he willing to do that? Abraham, because he believed God. He knew that it was through this boy, this Isaac, laid out on this altar. This is the one that God has promised would produce a nation of people. So he just said, God, raise him from the dead if he needs to. I believe God. Dear friends, this is what faith does. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Isn't that what the text says?
Amen.
Christian walks by faith and not by sight. We struggle, we doubt, but we are also given supernatural confidence to just believe God. In the midst of adversity, when the storms of life blow, when troubles come, listen, we all deal with doubt. We all worry some. We all struggle to figure out how God's going to do what God's going to do. We all in that process. But you can depend on God to be God. You can just trust Him. I love this. Job said. Now, did Job have a bad day? Job had a bad day. Now, some of us, we say we had a bad day. We probably had a bad 15 seconds. We milked all day. But that's another story altogether. Job had a bad day. Did Job remain faithful to his God? Listen to what he said. Job 13:15. Job said these words. Though he slay me.
Amen.
Yet will I trust in him.
Amen.
Now that's faith. That's faith. Have you grown in faith? I ask Christian, do you trust God more now than you have in the past? Have you seen God work in your life and that has produced more fruit of faith within you? I hope so. I hope you can say, God, the Spirit produces faith in me. That fruit is seen in my life and it's more now than it was because I've seen the faithfulness of God and it has grown my faith over the years. But this fruit of faith goes beyond simply trusting God, but having faith also produces faithfulness. Let me say it like this. God, the Holy Spirit, His work in our life of producing this fruit of faith yields faithfulness. Faithfulness. So not only is there an inner trusting faith, there is an outward serving faith. An outward serving faith. What we believe has an immediate impact on how we live. What we believe has an immediate impact on how we live. If we know the biblical definition of faith, and if we have seen God demonstrate faithfulness, then the Spirit will produce within us both faith and faithfulness. In other words, friends, we don't just trust God in the middle of hard times, but we also bear His image and live like Christ lived.
Amen.
That's what faith is. Faith is not just simply trusting God when it gets hard. It's also being faithful in the hard times. So I ask some questions, some pointed questions. Are you trustworthy? Now, if that's the biblical definition of faith and that Spirit produces that within us, then it ought to be there. Do you keep your word? Hold on now, we're about to get in everybody's business. You ready for this? Do you pay your bills? Because that's part of being faithful.
Yeah.
Being reliable, dependable, trustworthy. Keeping your word. Do you keep your commitments? Do you follow through on the promises you've made? Or do you make empty promises? The faithful Holy Spirit that dwells within the believer will be in the process of conforming us to the image of Christ. I have said this week by week as we make our way through. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you're just looking at the characteristics of Christ. That's all it is. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. These things, including what we're looking at tonight. That is who Christ was. And the thing about it is, He was that way because we're not that way. And that's why we trust in Him to forgive us of our sins. Do you desire to be more faithful? More trustworthy? More dependable? The answer is not read some self-help book. The answer is be filled with the Spirit of God. Be yielded to the Spirit of God. Have the Word of God within you. That will grow you. Listen to me as I say this. I've talked with different pastors. In fact, as you know, I fellowship individually with pastors outside of our own denomination even. And what I have found is that this is true across the branches of Christianity. If you were to ask pastors what is one of the single greatest needs that they know exist within their flock, it would be that the people would be more faithful. And don't sit here tonight and try to act like you got it all. There's areas in which we all need improvement. John Bunyan. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, it was written by John Bunyan. In fact, it was written by John Bunyan while he was in prison. But John Bunyan was thrown in prison. You ready? For preaching. They put him in prison for preaching.
Amen.
The authority said to him, and I quote, the authority said unto him, "Mr. Bunyan, you can come out of prison whenever you will promise to cease preaching the gospel." To which he replied, "If you let me out of prison today, I will preach again tomorrow by the grace of God." Then they said, "Well, sir, then you will be put back into prison." Bunyan replied, "I will go back and stay there. If need be, till the moss grows on my eyelids, but I will never deny my master."
Amen, brother.
That's the kind of faithfulness we need among God's people today. It's the kind of faithfulness I need. The supernatural fruit of faithfulness that is produced by the Spirit. That's not natural. It's not natural for man to say, "You can put me back in prison. I don't care. I'm going to do what's right." That's not natural. That's supernatural.
Amen.
That's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Even better, than having the words, "She hath done what she could," engraved on a tombstone. Even better than that would be hear these words: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
May God make us a more faithful people. May this fruit be plentiful in our lives. The fruit of faith. May God produce it in our life.